Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in today and joining us on another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues. It's our prayer each day that you will tune in, that you will be edified, informed, challenged, and renewed in the faith. May I remind us, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. Without the Scripture, the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God, we'd have no direction in our lives today. It is the progressive revelation of God to man from Genesis 1:1 through the book of the Revelation. It is what I call the truth book. Jesus said to his disciples in John 8:31 and 32, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And then Jesus himself said in John 14:6, "I am truth." Further, he makes a bold statement in John 17:17, "Thy word is truth." Ladies and gentlemen, it's the truth of the word of God that ought to direct our lives. It's the truth of the word of God that we ought to seek each and every day. It is truth that is the fundamental foundation of what we say and believe. And yet we find so many today almost identical to the secularist George Orwell's statement in his dystopian fiction novel titled 1984. George Orwell made this statement: "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more we'll hate those who speak it." And that's where we are today, ladies and gentlemen. If we talk about political things from a conservative, central biblicist viewpoint, you're going to be challenged and critiqued and derided and dissed, as the world calls it. If we take a stand for Christian truth, biblical truth, there'll be the same cries of disdain, dislike, disapproval from multitudes we would not have thought it would be possible. This is the reason we need to understand that we need to seek truth. It was the 15th century theologian and church reformer Jan Hus that made this powerful statement: "Faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death." And that's the position that we need to be in, ladies and gentlemen, that we're willing to seek the truth, love the truth, live the truth, learn the truth, tell the truth, and defend the truth. And that's our goal on this broadcast each and every day. Notwithstanding some may disagree, some may misunderstand or dislike, it is the seeking of the truth and standing on the truth. The central biblicist worldview is the sure-footed foundation for anyone listening under the sound of my voice today. We need to stand on the truth, defend the truth. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of Honda generators and a knowledgeable staff, ladies and gentlemen, to answer all of your questions about power backup equipment, as well as the professional and homeowner brand lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old San Augustine Road. That's 11291 Old San Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old San Augustine Road. It's where you find the gigantic flag flowing. It's a 165-foot flagpole with Old Glory flowing 24/7. At the base of that flagpole, ladies and gentlemen, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a subject today that I believe is timely as we go into the Easter season. We're talking about today, what does the resurrection of Jesus Christ mean to believers? What does the resurrection of Jesus Christ mean to believers? I have Pastor Davis with me today.
Amen.
Pastor Glenn Davis, raining from up in Georgia.
Amen. Amen. The big city.
The big city.
Praise
Back years
God.
Ago, we used to call it the cotton picking country.
That's right.
I don't know if you'd find that much cotton up in Georgia now or not, but back in my day, you did.
Amen. 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 Was, well, we got a lot of sugar cane today.
Sure
so
can.
We can call it the cane-breaking country
the cane-breaking
as well.
Country. And back
Amen.
In some parts of South Florida, my wife's hometown, home area, they had what they call handing tobacco, picking tobacco.
Amen.
And,
Amen.
That was the thing in that era. Don't know whether they do much of that in Georgia today or not. But I'm delighted to have you with us today, Pastor.
Amen.
We're going to be talking about this subject. What does the resurrection of Jesus Christ mean to believers? Ladies and gentlemen, Easter season. Wonderful season. It's generally the time of the year that is the world looks at it as a day to dress up. Did you hear me? There are a lot of folks today that think that Easter is the time that you just simply dress up. Go out of your way, make sure you've got an Easter garment on, something new, something special. Now, there's nothing wrong with folks doing that, Pastor.
Amen.
I love to see folks come
Not
in with the bonnets on, all dressed up and ready to listen to the Word of God on Easter. But that's not what Easter is all about, ladies and gentlemen.
Amen.
There are a lot of folks that go to Easter and Christmas. They call them the Christmas and Easter. That's the C&E Christians.
That's right.
That's the only two times many will go to churches, on Christmas and Easter. Well, I'm thankful that they don't go any other time, that at least they go for Christmas and Easter.
Amen.
But yet there's so many people today that simply do not recognize Easter for the real significance of what it is. A lot of folks will have get together with family. A lot of folks will have the dress-up time. They'll have the opportunity to have good meal on Easter with the family and with friends, but not really recognizing the significance, the real significance of Easter. And Pastor, I've said since the first century and the Sadducees, by the way, the Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection, and so they were Sadducee.
That's right.
So they were called Sadducees.
Well, I think they have a lot of company today, Dr. Youngblood, so many others.
I try.
Amen. Are sad today as well. And I want to say good morning, amen, first to all my family and friends,
yes.
My lovely wife. Amen. Thank God for you. Amen. Sticking with me for 35 years.
I was about to say she's put up with you for 35 years.
I don't know
years.
How she put up with me, but that's okay. I thank God, amen. I love her anyway.
Amen.
Amen. And I thank God for all of you. Amen. Call us today, 904-831-0917. Give us, amen, any input on this, any questions you want to ask.
Yes.
We'd like to know that you're taking notes and you're interested
yes.
in what's going on with the Christian life.
Want to
amen,
know that
because
it's beneficial.
So many churches today, Dr. Youngblood, they celebrate everything but the right thing.
That's right.
So we ought to be celebrating, amen, our Savior, because this is, and just like he is the reason for the season at mm-hmm. Christmas,
yes,
he's also the reason for this season
yes.
why we celebrate.
Absolutely.
Because if he didn't get up out of the grave, you're still in your sins.
Absolutely.
Amen?
Absolutely. And ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a very serious subject. It is serious because if we don't believe in the resurrection, it's an impossibility to be saved. We're going to talk about that in just a moment in this broadcast. But we've had the skeptics and the agnostics and the atheists and the mythologists who have tried to explain away the bodily resurrection of Jesus. There are a lot of folks, Pastor, that would say, I believe in the resurrection, but it was that he rose spiritually. He rose as a phantom. It wasn't really the physical, bodily resurrection of the
Amen.
Lord Jesus
Amen.
Christ. Today we have multitudes of the cults and the philosophers and the false religionists and the false teachers that will try to explain away the resurrection of Jesus. Many of these cults and false religions today say that Jesus' resurrection was only that spiritual resurrection. Makes it sound spiritual, pious, but it does not equate to what the Bible says. In fact, Pastor, I just read an article this morning that I want to share with our listeners, just a blurb of it. It's a three-page article, but I'm going to look at just the caption and the central portion of this article. It says, the resurrection did not happen.
So says
a quarter of Christians. One-fourth of people who describe themselves as Christians in Great Britain do not believe the resurrection of Jesus, according to a survey that was commissioned by the BBC. However, almost one in 10 people of no religion say they believe the Easter story. Now, listen, that's one-fourth of the Christians say they don't believe in the resurrection, but one in 10 of those that have no religious affiliation say that they do believe the Easter story, but has some content that should not be taken literally according to this survey. Here's the survey, ladies and gentlemen. I want to give you the skinny of it, the nuts and bolts of it, that should set the stage for what we're going to talk about today. And the reason that we need to understand what the Scripture says and look at it from a central biblicist standpoint and understand that Jesus' bodily, physical resurrection from the grave is, in fact, theologically, doctrinally, biblically true. And we need to hold to that.
Amen.
This survey says, Pastor, I'm going to read it. 17% of all people believe the Bible version word for word. 31% of Christians believe word for word the Bible's version, rising to 57% among active Christians, those who go to religious services at least once a month. Exactly half of all the people surveyed did not believe in the resurrection at all.
My.
This is a survey out of the UK. 50%, half of them, did not believe in the resurrection at all. 46% of the people say they believe in some form of life after death. 46% do not believe in life after death. 20% of non-religious people say they believe in some form of life. Now, listen to this again. 46% of the people that are professing Christians say they believe in some form of life after death. But yet 20% of the non-religious people say they believe in some form of life after death.
My.
9% of non-religious people, 9% of non-religious people believe in the resurrection, 1% of whom say they believe in the literal resurrection. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that should give you a handle on what we see in the UK. And in looking at that, ladies and gentlemen, let me just simply fast forward and say, I believe we're rapidly coming to that same point in America today.
Amen.
Where there are great numbers of people that claim to be saved, claim to be right with the Lord, claim to have a relationship to Jesus, claim to be looking forward to going to heaven when they die, but yet do not believe in the physical resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, the majority of Americans, I believe today, do not believe in the physical, bodily resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we're going to look at the pitfalls and the problems, biblically speaking, if you do not believe in the resurrection. Now, let me state again, as Pastor Davis invited earlier, call 831-0917. 831-0917.
Amen.
Your telephone call goes directly through the studios, right to our microphones, so that we can entertain your question, your comment, your dialogue, and discussion. Do you believe the physical resurrection? Why do you not believe it? What are some of the things you've seen or heard? What does your pastor say about it? What do you believe that other Christians believe? What's the problem if you don't? Can a person, Pastor, I believe this needs to be the centrality of the question. Is it possible for a person to be a born-again, blood-bought believer, Bible-saved, and disbelieve in the resurrection?
My.
Scripture says that's not the case.
It should not be.
We'll look at that in just a moment.
Amen.
But I'm amazed, I'm surprised, and yet saddened to see a greater and greater number of the professing Christians today in America that question the Bible, that question the validity of the Scripture, that question the veracity of what God's Word says, and that will question what the Scripture says in relationship to the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection.
Amen.
Those things, those theological truths, hang together. And if they're not believed, assimilated, and by faith accepted, I believe it's an impossibility based on the authority of Scripture.
Amen.
For a person to be saved. Ladies and gentlemen, the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified on Calvary's cross. The Lord Jesus Christ, with outstretched arms, says, "Tetelestai, it is finished. Salvation is done." Jesus Christ was removed from that cross. He was placed in an empty tomb. He was there 3 days. By the way, I'm not getting into the diatribe with some that wants to challenge whether he was crucified on a Wednesday or on a Friday.
Amen.
That is without question. You can look at the timeline in the scripture, the Gospel of Mark in particular, the 11th chapter through the 16th chapter, and it gives you day by day by day, Sunday through Sunday, what took place and when it took place. So I'm not going to get into the disbelief of some that might want to split hairs and challenge whether it was Wednesday or Friday. It was Friday. That settles it. And the Bible is the one that settles it, not me. But Jesus Christ was crucified, was buried, went into an empty tomb on the third day. He rose again physically, bodily, and ascended back into glory. Between his resurrection and his ascension, there was 40 days that there was the infallible proofs of his resurrection.
Amen.
And we, if time will allow, we might get into some of those today. But the intent of this broadcast is to talk about what does the resurrection of Jesus Christ mean to the believer. He was buried, and he rose again, physically, bodily. Now, I believe we have a caller on the line. Joseph, go over the question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. Resurrection, to me, means that God has power over life and death. Our faith should be in God, not human ideologies or philosophies. The resurrection of Lazarus should have removed any doubt that Jesus was who he said he was. But, you know, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. And some people, they just refuse to believe.
Yes.
Amen.
In fact, by the way, Joseph, you touched on something that's a sensitive subject for some people. When you look at the book of Proverbs, for example, you find God talking about the fool and the wise person. And it's the fool that said in his heart, no God. Now, that can be translated. Either he is making a definitive statement, there is no God, or that I don't believe in God. The fool that said in his heart, no to God, or no God. And
Amen.
Either way, either translation, and some have differentiated on that, it's the same thing. It's the fool that says that. And if you say that Jesus Christ did not have the power, he says, I lay down my life and I take it up. No man takes my life, I lay it down, and I have the power to lay it down, the power to take it up. It is proof that he is God. And when he called Lazarus forth, it's always an intriguing text for me, because he said, Lazarus, come forth. And if he had not said Lazarus, every body in the graves would have come forth.
Amen, amen. Been a lot of Lazarus.
And you're exactly right. It validates the power of God. It is the proof that Jesus Christ is God. It is the validation of who the Bible says Jesus Christ really is. So,
well,
Joseph,
Pastor,
thank you.
You know why a lot of people will not admit to God is because then they'd have to recognize him and try to please him. They don't want to have any authority over them telling them anything.
That is the disease that it has infected all of Washington, the Beltway of Washington in
yes,
particular.
Sir.
Where there's the feeling that God doesn't exist, they're trying to be gods themselves, and they're trying to show that they're gods with what they're doing in Washington today. But I am so thankful that from the Christian standpoint, as you and I are speaking today, we have the shirts, the blessed hope, and that's based on the death, burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, the first three verses, that that's the centrality of the gospel, that Jesus Christ died, he was buried, and rose again. That's the centrality of the gospel of Jesus
Amen.
Christ.
Amen.
Amen, brother.
Amen.
Thank you so much for your call. God bless you and keep looking up today.
Amen. Well, Dr. Youngblood, here's what all of us need to understand, believers and non-believers as well. Whether you believe it or not, you still can't make God be wrong what he said.
Amen.
I mean, we will never have the power to override the word of God, because his word has all power, and in his word there is life.
That's right.
Now, listen, if you want to jot these scriptures down right quick, we're going to blow through this because I want to get back to Dr. Youngblood. He's got a lot of discussion for us on today. We never can cover it
right.
in one broadcast.
That's right.
We can talk the rest of this year
That's
on
right.
one subject
right.
and still not cover
we'll
it
cover.
All. But 1 Peter 2:24, Genesis 2:17, Hebrews 9:27, Luke 23:33, Hebrews 2:9, and Romans 6:23 lets us know. All of those scriptures tell us, Dr. Youngblood, that he suffered a human death.
Yes.
He died as a human being.
Yes.
Now, if we don't believe these things, here's another scripture. 1 John 5:9-13 tells us, that God left a record here for us of his son.
That's right.
I'm just cutting it short. Because when we read that and we don't believe the record that God left here for us of his son, mm-hmm. we make God a liar. Now,
right.
listen, that doesn't mean he is a liar, but we are making him a liar.
Absolutely.
Because we don't believe.
Absolutely.
It don't have anything to do with his word not being true.
That's right.
But you are making him a liar because of your unbelief.
That's right. Absolutely.
But when you learn how to catch hold of faith, we got to learn. Faith means trusting God fully.
That's right.
That's a faith that's absent of fear.
Absolutely.
Fear and faith don't occupy the same space at the
you
same time.
Absolutely.
If you have fear, fear will knock it out the box for you each and every time.
You got it.
You can't. You won't even have a leg to stand on. But if you have the faith, the Bible says, as a grain of mustard seed,
mm-hmm.
that's a hard little seed right there.
That's right.
You need to have a hard and a firm faith in the Word of God and believe what you're reading. Believe it and receive it. And that's when it becomes effective in your life.
Absolutely.
Amen.
In fact, you talked about the faith factor. And the faith factor, we can look at any part of Scripture. And from the human perspective, we can say, how is that possible? But from the faith factor, by the way, I've used the little cliche, the faith that falters before the finish had a fatal flaw at the first.
Amen.
There are a lot of folks that maybe thought they had faith that didn't, especially if they don't believe the truth of what the Word of God says in relationship to the resurrection of the Lord
Amen.
Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want us to understand that the grave could not hold Jesus down. It is the fact that he arose. He arose. He is alive today because he had power over sin, death, Satan, and the grave.
Amen.
And he arose. He's alive today. The death, ladies and gentlemen, is not the end. I believe that, Pastor, let me just throw a little thought in here. There are a lot of people today that are petrified at the thought of dying. They look at death as being the end. Ladies and gentlemen, death is just the doorway that opens to eternity.
Amen.
This physical body, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, by the way, one of the greatest texts in all the Bible, the classic text in all the Bible for resurrection, is the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. There's 58 verses there, and I would challenge you to read and absorb those 58 verses in 1 Corinthians 15. It is the treatise, it is the classic treatise in all of the Bible on the resurrection. But we've got to die in order to be raised again,
Amen.
To be new, and that newness is a new body, a new life, a new eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Because
Amen.
We die in Christ, we will be raised again to walk with him
Amen.
In all of eternity.
Amen.
So, ladies and gentlemen,
and you know, Dr. Youngblood, that's what we need to do. We need to learn. I mean, we might as well go ahead and settle this in our mind right now.
Absolutely.
There's only two ways we're going to meet the Lord. That's either through the grave or through the rapture.
Absolutely. Either one's all right with me.
No other way. No other way. So, I mean, if he delays his coming, we're going to leave here.
That's right.
But if he comes first in the rapture, the Bible says we'll be caught away.
That's
Amen.
Right.
I don't know about you, but I'm looking for either one.
Amen.
Amen.
In fact, you wake up each morning and say, perhaps today.
Amen. Amen.
Perhaps today.
Amen.
And that ought to be the, and by the way, touching on that links back to what we're talking about. We have that hope. We have that assurance that we're going to be suddenly seized
Amen.
In the rapture. We're snatched out. If we are in the grave, we'll be resurrected and be with Jesus. Or if he comes back in the rapture, that we're snatched out, the grave or the rapture. Either way, we're going to meet Jesus.
Amen.
But
Amen.
If we reject the truth of the resurrection,
My
if
God.
We reject the bodily, physical resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, then there's a problem with our faith.
Amen.
In fact, I'm looking at two pages out of my book that the publisher is getting ready to ship out this week. Page 78 in the book, I say, think about it. The bodily resurrection of Jesus is the cornerstone of our Christian faith. Jesus' resurrection is the very heart of the gospel and has been since the day of Pentecost to present. Jesus' bodily resurrection is our assurance that we will be raised again. The empty tomb is our guarantee of the future bodily resurrection of every believer.
Amen.
The doctrine of the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ is not a myth, but a spiritual miracle of God, providing hope for every child of God.
Amen.
That death is not the end, but he lives. Because he lives, we shall live also. And without the resurrection, according to the Bible, we would still be dead in our trespasses and sins.
Amen.
And further on page 12, I state this in my book, if Jesus is not bodily resurrected from the dead, then we do not have Christianity today. The fundamental foundation of biblical Christianity is the historical fact of Jesus' resurrection. No resurrection, no Christianity.
Amen.
And that should settle it for anybody that's listening. But perhaps you're listening today, ladies and gentlemen, and you've got a question about it that you need resolved and settled. If you've had doubt about the resurrection of Jesus, if you have questions about the resurrection of Jesus, if you have doubts or questions about whether or not you believe that under salvation, I'd love to have you call 831-0917, 831-0917. Let's share. You don't have to tell us your name, address, and phone number. No one's going to ridicule you or in any way demean you, but we'd love to have your insight, your questions, your comments, your dialogue. Perhaps you've had some pastors that may have preached that it's just a mythology, that Jesus didn't physically be resurrected from the grave. There's some Christian cults that do not believe that Jesus was resurrected from the grave.
Amen.
They're called Christian. I've never understood why they're called Christian cults. It's because they claim to know Christ, they claim to know the Bible, but they're cults, they're not believers, and so they're called Christian cults. That's almost an oxymoron, Christian
cult. Yes, it
is. But yet at the same time, that's what they're called.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen. But listen, you see, because Jesus had victory over sin, death, and the grave, every believer today can have that calm assurance that death is not the end. In fact, Pastor, before we go further, I want to take a moment and turn in our Bibles to the 15th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 15.
Very good one. Very good.
I want to look at just, we're going back and look at several of the other verses before we finish this broadcast. But I want to look at verses 55 through 58. Because a lot of people listening, perhaps, Pastor, today, they're Christians, but they're fearful of dying. They're afraid of what will happen. They're fearful of not knowing what will be the future for them.
Amen.
And the scripture says in verse 55, 1 Corinthians and following, 1 Corinthians 15, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord.
Amen.
So that should be a challenge and encouragement to every child of God that's listening today, Pastor, is to realize that the sting of death is the law. But because of Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, because as we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 12 through 19, and then in verse 20 and 21, Jesus Christ is the first fruits from the grave.
Amen.
First fruits, if you go back and study the scripture, ladies and gentlemen, indicates there are other fruits to follow. Second fruits, for example. But if Jesus Christ is the first fruit from the grave, that is the assurance, that's the guarantee that we will rise again.
Amen.
That death does not hold us down. So the question that we're talking about today, Pastor, we'll introduce it again. And then right after the news, in just a moment, we're going to look at several responses to this question. In fact, five or six, seven questions that we need to, answers that we need to have to this question. What does the resurrection of Jesus Christ mean to believers today? Ladies and gentlemen, what does the resurrection mean to you today? In a moment, we're going to look at several things that it should mean to you, giving biblical record, biblical text to validate it. And then after we've looked at several of these, we're going to look at, Pastor, the seven false theories, the seven mythological theories that's out there that multitudes may have today that they'd like to respond to. Several false theories about the resurrection.
Amen.
But first of all, ladies and gentlemen, the belief in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is absolutely, unequivocally required for biblical salvation.
Amen.
It's required. If a person does not believe in the resurrection, and perhaps you say, I'm saved, but I don't believe in the resurrection. I'm a Christian, but I don't believe in the resurrection. Ladies and gentlemen, check up on your salvation. In chapter 10 of Romans, the 9th verse, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
Amen.
No belief in the resurrection, no salvation. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back, right after the top of the hour news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.